John chapter 14, and reading in verse 4 through verse 6. And whither I go you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this clear, explicit statement of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray as we consider it this morning, it might be illuminating to us, and it might be helpful to us, not only in coming to know you, but in sharing your way with others. We ask your blessing to this end in our Savior's precious name. Amen. I'm sure that all of you at one time or another have been in the same predicament that I have been in any number of times. Being in a city far away from home, a city that you're not familiar with, and you're wishing to find someone in that complex of streets and roads. So you stop there and you ask for directions. And someone gives you directions which are very simple and clear to them. They tell you to go down this way and then you'll find a street here and turn right or left and go so many blocks and something else will happen and so on. The only difficulty is as you start off following those directions, they are not as simple as they were given to you. Because as you make the first move and come to the certain intersection, you find instead of just one street turn to the right, maybe there's two or three at different angles to the right. Or you come to an intersection that sounded like just right across or right or left, and it's complex, a rotary or something of another kind. The directions that were given are not clear to you, and so you get confused. Maybe you don't, but I do. And I end up in the wrong place again, and once more ask for directions. And sometimes those are confusing, as the first directions were. But nonetheless, that's the situation we're faced with many times. Asking directions and receiving information that is not clear, and therefore we're not able to adequately arrive at our destination. In contrast to that, in the passage that we have before us this morning, God has seen fit to make very clear to us the way of salvation, the way to heaven, clearly and emphatically and simply laid out upon the page of Scripture. There are just three verses, and we'll just take three different looks, one look at each verse. First of all, the way assumed. Jesus assumed that the disciples by now, knew the way. But in verse 5, the way confused. Thomas and others, possibly of the disciples, were confused as to the way. It was not clear, even though it should have been to them, after this long period of Jesus' teaching and ministry among them. Now with that confusion then, we have the clear statement in verse 6, the way explained. The way assumed, the way confused, and the way explained. Now the whole of Jesus' life and ministry up until this time had been to this end, that he had come from the Father to them to provide the way for them back to the Father. You remember that many times in his teaching in John's Gospel, he stresses again and again, the Father sent me, or I am come from the Father. And then, having come to them, he is opening the way for them to go back with him to the Father. This had been implicit in his teaching up until this time. Now to buttress that point and to emphasize that point, let's just think, for example, of the Sermon on the Mount. There's a good example. Everybody says, well, I know about the Sermon on the Mount. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now, you remember how the Sermon on the Mount starts out, blessed are the peacemakers and blessed are the poor in spirit and so on and so forth. But in the same sermon now, the same message, the same interactions of Jesus, dialogue of Jesus with his disciples and with the crowd, he ends the whole thing by saying this, verse 13. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What is he talking about? He's talking about the way. the way to life, you see. And this is the end of his sermon that he's been preaching. He wraps it all together, and he says, now make an effort to enter through the straight gate, the narrow way, because many are going the wide gate, the broad road. What does that mean? Well, let's go down to verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, the authoritative words of Jesus, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man, and his house ultimately collapsed. In other words, Jesus is saying that the way to life is to hear my words and to do them. In other words, I am bringing you authoritative teaching. It is the Word of God. You must listen and respond to what I am saying. In that sense, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. Jesus' teaching, you see, right from the beginning, the Sermon on the Mount, is right along these lines. Let's take an example in John's Gospel. You remember, in chapter 6, he had spoken about the bread of life. He said, as the children of Israel were fed by the manna, bread that God sent down from heaven for their physical necessities in the Old Testament times, he says, I am the true bread of life sent down from heaven. I am the true bread of life come down from heaven. You must eat me. Now they got kind of confused as to how they should eat Jesus, but he made that clear. He said, my words are spirit and truth. It is in a figurative sense that Jesus was speaking. As we take physical food into our bodies, so by faith we must assimilate Jesus Christ into our spiritual person. He is life. We cannot live apart from him. So Jesus is saying the same thing. He has come from heaven, come to them in order to give them spiritual life. John chapter 10. He says, I'm the good shepherd. He says the good shepherd is going to give his life for the sheep. You are the sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me in the way. They go after me. I lead the way. They follow me in the way of life. So he has been teaching again and again, over and over from many different angles, this basic truth, that he is the way to the Father. He is the way to heaven. So he says to them in verse 4, you know the way to the place where I am going. He is assuming that they have understood what he has been saying, but they do not. They are confused. Notice, for example, back in chapter 13, verse 36, Peter says, Lord, where are you going? He had spoken about going away. A little bit later, he speaks about going to the Father's house. Did he mean that because the opposition was so strong in Israel and Palestine that he was going to leave Palestine and go to the Gentile world and somewhere there they could go to him and continue their discipleship relationship with Jesus somewhere in the Gentile world? Is that what he meant? They were confused. They did not know. And so I am glad of Thomas' confusion here and glad that the Holy Spirit has chosen this incident to record it in Scripture so that we may have a clear word in connection with this matter. They were not getting the picture. They didn't know where he was going. And if they didn't know where he was going, how could they know the way to get there? This then brings about the explicit teaching of the Lord Jesus relative to this matter. But before we get to that, before we get to verse 6, let's look again at the confusion that still exists today as to the way to the Father. Because if they were confused in that day, and they were, people remain confused today. There are many ways that people are taken, thinking that they will lead them to heaven. But unfortunately, as we notice in the passage, there is but one way. It isn't that many ways lead to heaven, only one way leads to heaven. What are some of these ways that people take that they feel will lead them ultimately to heaven? Well, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I don't know how many people at different times have said to me, well, Mr. Ward, I respect what you're saying. And I see that you're sincere, and I know that you are educated in religion, people will talk like this, you know. And Saul, that's your way. And I respect that fact. But you must respect the fact that I have my way. And actually, God may accept you coming your way, and he'll accept me coming my way. And so everybody has this idea that we can all take a way of our own devising as long as we're sincere, as long as we're really not hypocrites about it, as long as we really are putting ourselves into it, as long as we're sincere about it, every way we'll get there. You take the high road, I'll take the low road. We'll all get there someday, and I'll see you there by and by. All we like sheep have gone astray, not to heaven. All we like sheep have gone astray, away from God. We have turned everyone to his own way, which is away from God. How does it happen? Very innocently. It just happens by living life without listening to God. It just happens by living life doing my own thing, being a good person. Let me just give you an illustration. You wouldn't believe this, but back where EB has their parking lots, just opposite the South Yard, one day when I was a little boy, for I've grown up in this area, it used to be all beautiful meadows. And there used to be daisies where those black, where all that blacktop is now. Beautiful daisies growing up. In the midst of the daisies, every once in a while, there were some black-eyed Susans. Maybe some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but you know what daisies are, and black-eyed Susans, a black spot in the middle of a yellow-orange flower. And then there were violets. And there were all kinds of beautiful things in those meadows. Let's supposing now, for example, that a little child is going out into those meadows and going to pick a bouquet for mother. That's something good to do, isn't it? And so we start out, and although mother has told us that we mustn't go out of that field, because you won't believe this either, but there are a whole lot of woods between the ends of those fields all the way over to Benham Road. Great big forest, you know. And so you mustn't go in those woods. So here we start picking those flowers, and there's some daisies, and another bunch of daisies over there. And so we go over where those daisies are, and our bouquet is getting bigger. Then there's some black-eyed Susans over there. And we go over to the black-eyed Susans and put those into our bouquet. And behold, there's some violets over a little bit, and some forget-me-nots over there, too. Let's get some of those in our bouquet. And so we put them in our bouquet. We're right at the edge of the woods now. And in the woods, there's some trailing arbutus, some of the most beautiful flowers in the woods that you'll ever find. And there's some jack-in-the-pulpit in where it's wet there further. Look, you can see them. And so into the woods we're going further and further, and before you know it, innocently picking a bouquet for mother, I'm lost. Where am I? How do I get out of this place? And we don't know where we are, and we panic, and we begin to cry. We're lost. We're going our own way, just doing our own innocent thing, maybe a good thing. But we're just way away from where we should be. That's a way that people live. Innocently, just going on, not listening to God, just doing their own thing. And unfortunately, good people, morally speaking, fine people, miss the way because they are just going on living in their own way. But you know, there's another way, too. This way is spoken of twice within the space of two chapters in the Bible. Do you know that there are some verses that are repeated verbatim in the Bible? Think of that. A verse that's repeated, it certainly must be important, eh? Let me give you a couple of references. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25. The verse is repeated. Here's what it says. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. A way that seems right. What way is that? Well, that's not just doing my own thing. It's becoming interested in God's things, religious things. It is the way of religion. It is the way that Satan, the enemy of God, deceives and deludes people, so that they believe all the time they're on the way to heaven, but in reality, they're on the way down to a lost eternity, a way that seems right unto a man. Think of the example of the first boy that ever lived. His name was Cain. He was a worshiper of God, the true God, not some kind of an idol that he had manufactured and said, this is God. He was a worshiper of the true God whom his father and mother, Adam and Eve, knew. And so it came time for Cain to worship God. And he came as a worshiper into the presence of God with an offering. And he laid it before God. And God said, Cain, I'm not pleased with your sacrifice. But Cain said, it's a good sacrifice. It's a good expression of worship. But God said, I have given to you the way that you shall approach me. It is the way of sacrifice. It is the way of an innocent animal being killed, indicating that you deserve to die, but someone has taken your place. And you will sacrifice that animal, its blood being shed, giving its life on your behalf. You will look forward in faith to the coming of the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who will give himself as a redemptive sacrifice to put your sins away. That's my way, Cain. Cain, but my way. Look how nice it is. Look at this sacrifice. God says, I can't accept it, Cain. That's your way. It seems right to you, but you must come my way. And so we have more people in the world today of other world religions than we have of Christianity. Very religious. Very religious. But coming some religious way other than God's way. We have within the canopy of Christianity many, many people who name the name of Christ on a survey, for example, as being Christians, but they are not committed in faith to Jesus Christ, even under the canopy of Christianity. Maybe they're trying to follow the example of Jesus or something of this sort. Missing God's true way of salvation. Coming a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Paul said, he said, my heart breaks for my countrymen. He said, I pour out my soul to God for them. He says, they are sincere. They are zealous, he says, but not according to knowledge. Their zeal and their sincerity is not according to the knowledge of God's revealed plan of salvation. They are seeking to come their own Jewish Orthodox religious way in his day. What he was speaking about, you see? A way that seems right. Is it possible? Is it possible that religious people, sincerely religious people, who are not trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation, will not be accepted by God? Is it possible? That is possible. That is the truth of Scripture. A way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So there's confusion about the whole subject even today. As a matter of fact, some people get very heated about this. We'll talk about that in just a moment. With this confusion now in the background, in verse 6, we have the way explained. And I'm so thankful for Thomas' confusion, as I say, and the fact that the Holy Spirit chose to record that, because here we have not an implicit teaching on the subject, not something obscure, not something that demands interpretation of a delicate kind on the part of those who would handle the Scripture. But we have something that cannot be interpreted in any other way than the plain statement of fact of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus answered, I am the way. Now that's been the subject. Notice, if you will, back in verse 4, Jesus says, you know the way. Verse 5, Thomas says, how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way. This is the subject. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Notice, first of all, that the way to God the Father, the way to heaven, is in and through a person. The emphatic word in the Greek text here is the pronoun I. I am the way. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is not pointing the way. He is the way. From the beginning of the Bible up until this point, there were many people, and they were saying, that's the way. Moses said, he's coming, one like to me, but the final authoritative prophet. You must listen to him. Whether you obey him or disobey him, your whole future eternity depends upon it. The prophet whose word is authoritative. Isaiah says, as we've been reading, he was playing upon the organ. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and so on. Looking forward to the one who was the way. All the Old Testament, all the prophets of the Scripture were pointing the way, The way. They were saying, the way is coming. It will yet be made clear to you. Finally, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, and he said, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Everyone else and all the prophets and preachers since that time show the way, point to the way. Jesus says, I am the way. He is not a way pointer. He is the way itself. In the Temple of Baha'i in Willamette, Illinois, you will go in and you will see in this edifice, in its great rotunda area, different figures of religious history. Moses, Zoroaster, Abraham, Muhammad, Christ, and so on. And Jesus is presented there as being one of those among many others who is showing the way to God, or has something to add to all the aggregate total truth on this matter as to how we get to God. Jesus is not one of many who shows the way to God. Jesus is the way to God. How can a person be a way? I read an interesting story about a missionary a number of years ago, and the missionary was called out one dark night to go to minister to someone in need through the jungle. Very dark, of course, overgrown vines and trees and all this type of thing. And as they were stumbling along, he was having a great deal of difficulty keeping his eye on the path and knowing where they were going. Finally, in desperation, he said to the native who had come call him to the side of that one who was hurting, he said, I can't find the way. And the native turned to him and he said, I am the way. Put your hand upon my shoulder. Don't worry about anything else but holding on to me, and I will take you there. So the native became the way to the person who was in need. In exactly the same way, Jesus is the way to the Father. That brings us to the second point. There's something very exclusive. There's something very unique about the way. He does not say, I am a way. He says, I am the way. I am the only way. There is but one way. Now, lest we think we are confusing what Jesus is saying here, it's hard to imagine how we can confuse this direct statement of Jesus. Let's ask ourselves, how did the New Testament apostles interpret this word of Jesus? Peter stands up to preach in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. He says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. Very emphatic, very dogmatic, clearly indicating exactly what Jesus says here. I am the only way. How about Paul? Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, For there is one God and one mediator, one way, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all. So we can be very clear that both Paul and Peter, among many others, clearly understood Jesus' statement as meaning exactly what it seems to say. I am the way, I am the only way. There is no other. You will not get to the Father except by coming through me. Listen to the writer of the Hebrews, chapter 10. Listen, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, that is heaven, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is, his body. So the writer says that there's a new and living way opened up into the most holy sanctuary of heaven, through the blood and the body, the life given, the given life of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. What about other world religions? Well, let's just look at the rest of the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here we have the way described. Now, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it seems to me, help us to understand something of what he means by the way. the way Jesus is involved in connection with the truth of God. It has to do with knowing what is truth. Now, Jesus himself is spoken of in the scripture, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, as being the embodiment of all the wisdom and knowledge of God. So Jesus here says, I am the truth in connection with this matter of coming to and of knowing God. Now if Jesus is only a man, then indeed he is presumptuous to say, I am the way. This is not truth. This is a lie. No man can say he is the way to God if he is only a man. If he is only a religious man. If he is only a prophet. Like Moses or Zoroaster or Mohammed or what have you. If he says, I am the way, the only way to God, he is presumptuous. It is an audacious statement that he is making. He is completely telling lie, telling untruth, not the truth, since no man can approach to the presence of God. So the whole thing boils down to the truth of the matter as to who Jesus is. If he is only a man, then what he says is a lie. It is presumptuous. If, on the other hand, he is who he says he is, that Jesus is God. He has come from the Father where he has an eternal relationship with him. He assumes humanity. He becomes man in order to die upon the cross, to be raised from the dead, and to enter back to the Father, and thereby open a way for us to the Father. If he is God, then what he says is not presumptuous. What he says is truth. What he says is right, and he has a right to say it. So the many people who are fighting about this statement that Christians make concerning Jesus Christ have to deal not so much with the presumptuous statement, as they would say, but with that which underlies the statement. Who is making the statement? It all comes back then to that basic point. And I say, if Jesus is God, then indeed, he is the only way to God. If he is not God, he is a liar, and we do not well to heed him or to follow him. But not only is Jesus the embodiment of truth, and speaking the truth when he makes this statement, I am the way. But Jesus is the source and sustainer of life. I am the life. He has made this statement again and again. He says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 3:36. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. John 5:24. He says, I am come that they might have life. John 10:10. Paul says, and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, made alive through faith in Jesus Christ. So Jesus lays claim to being the source and sustenance of all life. The way then is involved in the truth concerning who Jesus is, as involved in experiencing personally the life of God through relationship with Jesus Christ. Now let's come to our last phrase. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Here we come to application. Here we come to this truth that although Jesus is the way to the Father, no one gets to the Father apart from acting upon that truth. We understand now, we agree now, that Jesus is the way, the only way to the Father. But I must act upon that truth if I would get to the Father. I must, Jesus says, come. He says, no one comes to the Father. I must come, take a step of faith. Coming involves steps, spiritually speaking, steps of faith, one after the other. Act upon what I know to be true. Also, he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Through involves movement, involves action. So each one of us, in order to be blessed by this tremendous authoritative statement of Jesus, must act upon it. So Jesus is the only way to the Father. I may come to the Father only then through Jesus Christ. Have you acted upon this truth in your own personal life? Have you taken the steps of faith to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody said, I don't understand what you mean. Let me try and illustrate it for you. Let's suppose we have a burning building, 5 stories high. Let's suppose you have an apartment in the 5th story of that building. Let's suppose that the interior ways to get out of that building are all blocked by flame and smoke. And let's suppose now that the firemen are able to bring up a ladder to that 5th story, and the ladder is just outside your window. Let us also suppose that you have a great fear of heights. Let us suppose now that the fireman stands at the window and says, come, and I will carry you down the ladder to safety. And he implores you to come to that window, and he may carry you to safety from that burning building. You go to the window, and you look at him. He looks strong. He's carried many other people to safety. The ladder looks adequate, perhaps, although it's such a high, high ladder. Yeah, it's fearful to look at it. But the worst thing is, you look down, and you see 5 stories down, and little people down there, and these terrible fears grip your soul. And now there's a fear of dying in that building, or the fear of this height of committing yourself to this man for him to take you down the ladder to safety. And you struggle. In the final analysis, you must make a decision. And you must act in faith. You must lay aside all of the emotion that's going on within you, or at least act over and above it with a decisive act of faith and say, yes, I will come, and you step over the window, and he puts you in over his shoulder in the fireman's carry and takes you down the ladder to safety. You act upon the fact that at that point in time, he is the way, the only way of saving your physical life. In exactly the same way, spiritually, we must understand that apart from Jesus, the fact that he came from the Father into the world to die upon the cross in respect to our sins, was raised from the dead in victory and power, and ascended back to the Father's presence in order to take many people to heaven with him. Those who will act in faith. Those who will say, well, my way, it wasn't a bad way, morally speaking perhaps, but it's not the way to heaven. My way, this religious way, it looks good, but it's not God's way. It's not David Ward's way, it's not my way, it's God's way that's important. All right, I see it. Jesus says emphatically, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. I will make that decision today. I will take that step. Jesus, I commit myself to you. Save me. Take me in your arms into the Father's presence. You are the way, and I commit myself to you. In Christian living, day by day, we must continue in the truth of what we have here. Because, notice, he is speaking here not of a door. He did speak of the door in John chapter 10. I am the door. The door speaks of one step from the outside to the inside. But the way speaks of a continuing course of life. And so the Christian must go on walking in the way. How so? The New Testament has a great deal about it. By walking by faith, not by sight, by walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We must go on believing the truth, here it is, in contrast to believing the lies of Satan, which are barrages from the world in which we live. We must go on living in the life, as Paul did when he said, for me to live is Christ. And Colossian epistle tells us, Christ is our life. This is what Jesus meant when he said, you must eat me. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. You must live on me. You must grow on me. I am necessary to your daily continuance. So what do we have? A little chorus that I learned when I was dealing with boys and girls and trying to help them. And I still do, but don't have much time for it. In the present ministry, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is what Jesus said. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no growing. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. Shall we respond personally to what Jesus said, initially and continuously, as our need might be? Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful this morning, and we express that thanksgiving to you from our hearts for the fact that you recorded in your word the confusion of Thomas and the other disciples so that Jesus could make very clear, very explicit, and very plain, and very simply express to us the way to the Father. We thank you, and Father, we would stop fighting against what Jesus said. We would stop rebelling against what Jesus said. We will just acknowledge that Jesus is God, and he came from you, and he wishes to lead us to you through himself. And we would just submit ourselves to him and rejoice and be thankful for coming into this knowledge of truth through the person of Jesus Christ. So bless your word to us. Those of us who know and love you, help us to keep walking in the way. Help us to keep growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and to keep growing in spiritual likeness unto our Savior. We ask this in his precious and worthy name. Amen.